Well, tomorrow is the day. Leighton, what do you want for Christmas tomorrow? A dirt bike? Yes, nice decision. I love it. Lydia, what do you want for Christmas tomorrow? Oh, you're going to be shy on me? Okay, I understand. I shouldn't pick on the preacher's kid. Let's see here. Who should we pick on? Coleman, what do you want for Christmas? Better be better than a dirt bike.
Some shoes.
Some shoes. Okay. Tomorrow's a big day. Lots of fun things happening. Hey, Leighton, I have a question for you. One last one. What'd you get for Christmas last year? Can't remember? No, can't remember. That's what I thought. It's interesting. Here's some of the gifts that I gave last year that I was really excited about. This is a flag football set. And you can't tell this, but there's about 2.5 flags left in the bag at this point. There's a couple of these cones. I ran over one of them with my lawnmower recently. And the football is flat and gone. I don't know where it is. Went to look for it. It's gone. Christmas Day, we were having a great time with this, though. It was lots of fun. We were all out there, had our flags on. This was a princess castle. I mean, it was like 3,000 pieces, and now it's down to about 15. And there was a princess, and she was here, and now I think she's off with a Star Wars guy in another room, and there's only somebody with no hair that's sitting in there. Oh, that's fun. Okay. Let's pray and enter God's word. Oh, Lord, would you do the work that only you can do? Guide us into your word. Show us who the dayspring of life, Christ our Savior, really is. Reveal it through your scriptures. Amen. Let me turn with me, page 857, starting in verse 8. And in the same region where the shepherds are out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of the Lord. So imagine for a moment you're one of these shepherds. You're settling down for the night, a little fire, you know, your friends are cooking the meal, you're telling lies and jokes and having fun. And then all of a sudden, a massive angel comes up in front of you. And you're scared. Or at least you should be scared, or else you ought to see a doctor. I mean, this is an angel of the Lord. And the angel says to you, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. Unto you is born a child, Christ the Savior, and you're going to find this child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in this manger." Now, if you notice, when the angel was talking to them, the angel didn't say exactly the name of the city where this child would be, but these shepherds knew their scriptures. They knew them. They knew that the city of David was Bethlehem. And they were obviously spiritually attuned guys because they recognized this was an angel from God, and they heard the angel and they recognized that what the angel was doing was giving them good news of great joy. And so what they did was they set out with haste to pursue joy, to go after this king. And they go to Bethlehem, and I don't know how, I've always wondered, how did they find Mary and Joseph? Maybe a small town. They ask around, and they get to Mary and Joseph, and it's just like the angel said it would be. Just like the angel said it would be. And that's really important. There was a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, because the angel said that that would be a sign for them that this was Christ the Lord. And so they get there, and as everything is as it's been told to them, and they look at it and they realize we're staring at the Messiah, and they tell Mary all that they have seen and heard, and then they leave. Kind of anticlimactic. They just leave. But they leave differently than they came. They leave praising and glorifying God for all they had seen and heard. Here they are. They're walking back to their fields. Nothing is materially different in their lives. The same sheep that stray away every day are waiting for them. The same wives that nag them every day are standing there. They're going to sit in the fields. Nothing has changed. And yet they go back completely different. Why? Because they've seen this good news of great joy. And their reaction of great joy, they weren't the only ones that felt this way. You remember the story, you heard it, of the wise men. These guys came from some 800 miles away, somewhere Iraq, Iran, traveled all the way around because they were sitting in it, they saw the star, and they thought they recognized it as a star of the king of the Jews. So they left what they were doing, traveled, probably took them 6 months, came to Jerusalem, the star disappears. They don't know where the Messiah is. All of a sudden, the star reappears over Bethlehem, and they realize this is where the king is. And Luke says, when the wise men knew that they had found the Christ, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That has got to be the most repetitive sentence in the entire Bible. And Luke's doing it for a reason. He's saying they weren't just happy. They weren't just joyful. They rejoiced with exceeding joy. Great joy. Seeing the Christ. Remember the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, who is somewhat of a cousin of Mary. And Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, and Mary is pregnant with Jesus. Two pregnant bellies walking into the room together. And as they see each other, Elizabeth notes that this baby leaps in her womb. That John the Baptist, upon coming to the presence of Christ, leaps. She says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped." Why? For joy. Even the baby in the womb at the presence of Christ leaps for joy. Mary. Mary is a teenage woman. She's a virgin. This is a society where there's a lot of purity, emphasis placed on purity. And this angel of the Lord comes to her and says to her that you will conceive a child and he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. Now, if I'm Mary, I'm kind of going, wait. Let's go back on this one a second. Let's go back to the first. I'm going to conceive a child. What you talking about, Willis? I mean, if I conceive a child, I could get stoned. My husband could run me off. I mean, this is a society where my virginity is the only thing that I have to protect me. And what does Mary do as a reaction to the news that she gets from this angel? She doesn't complain. She doesn't remark in fear. She doesn't say, God, why me? When the angel says, you will conceive this child, her reaction is joy. And not because she's so holy and wonderful, but because the news is that good. It is good news of great joy. Four different diverse people. Look, you got a roughneck shepherds. You've got rich religious guys. You've got an unborn child. You've got a teenage girl. And all of them, when they meet Jesus, the response is joy. Why? Because they knew their scripture. And they knew that when they were sitting there, it was not lost on them that they were in Bethlehem. We read the story of Micah. Micah 5 tells of this prophecy of this one who was going to come, this Messiah. And you know where the Messiah was going to be born? In Bethlehem, in this little place, it says, this little tribe that couldn't even be counted among the best of Judah. And it says that this Messiah will be one who comes from of old. He's one who comes from the Ancient of Days, and when he comes, he will shepherd his flock and his people. He will be the strength and the majesty of God, and that God will dwell secure and there shall be peace. They rejoice because they knew the promise of Isaiah 62 that says that when salvation comes, when the Messiah arrives, that God's people will then be a crown in the hand of the Lord. They will be a royal diadem. They rejoiced because they knew the prophecy from Isaiah 60 that said, when God comes, when the Messiah arrives, that you will be given a new name. No longer a people of desolation, no longer a people of forsakenness. Your name will be My Delight Is In Her. That when the Messiah comes, that He will rename the people of God such that their name will become the delight of the Lord. They knew the promise. They rejoiced when they thought of Isaiah 60. They're looking at the baby. And they knew the promise that said, when the Messiah comes, there shall be no more violence. There shall be no more mourning or sadness. It says that evil will not reign anymore, that righteousness will be there. They heard the promise of God, no more want, no more scarcity, that the coming King would bring abundance and joy and laughter and peace and delight. They knew that this one that they looked at would come and set everything right. And so, yeah, Mary wasn't that concerned about what everybody would think of her when she had a big belly. Shepherds weren't exactly worried that they were going back to the same old life. The wise men, they didn't concern themselves with the fact that they would leave and they would go back to their homes and they would probably never see this kingdom come in their lifetime. They would be gone. It was a baby lying there. This child couldn't do anything for themselves. And yet they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Because they knew. They knew that the King had come. And they knew that meant that the King was coming. That the light had broken into the darkness. That the promise of God was happening. They rejoiced because they knew that their desolation and their suffering and their tears and their pain were no longer going to be the superpowers of their life. They knew that a King had come who was going to set everything right. And it didn't even matter that it was a baby lying in that manger. They knew it had started. And the hope of the future that King would bring fueled a sustaining joy inside of them. It was the same as with Simeon. Remember the man Simeon? He's in the temple that day. And the baby Jesus is brought in. And Simeon, upon seeing the birth of this baby and seeing this child brought in before them, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Basically, translation is, I can die a happy man because I know what's coming. It is sustaining joy. It is abiding joy that even his death couldn't scare away. That those wise men walked all those ways back and they had something, having seen the Christ child, that was untouchable by anything else that would happen in their life. They had a future hope that fueled this sustaining joy. And I think the joy that they walked away with is such a contrast to the fleeting joy that gets shoved down our throats this time of year. You know, tomorrow is a fun day. I'm excited. You know, I'm going to have my kids are going to have a hard time going to sleep. I'm going to have a hard time. It's no doubt joy. The problem with tomorrow is it's fleeting joy. It's slippery joy. You know, that we're so excited that tomorrow is going to be so grand, but 6 months later, you won't be able to tell me what you got for Christmas. I asked myself that question. Art and I were sitting around on Tuesday. I was like, what did I get for Christmas? It's been a week. I cannot remember what I got for Christmas last year. A week of thinking about it. It's because it's slippery. It's because the stuff under that tree is fleeting joy. And the reason it is that on Christmas, what happens is the world looks for joy in the thing itself. It looks for joy in the celebration, in the presents, in the friends, in the family, in the festival day. And because of that, the joy is fleeting because that stuff, those things don't possess the transcendent weight that can fuel sustaining joy. And that's kind of bah humbug, isn't it? I mean, you know, you could kind of leave here and you could do, and I've done this at points in my life, very cynically say, well, what's the point? Let's just give it all back. You know, we'll give some money to charity. We'll eat peanut butter and jelly tomorrow. It's all fleeting joy. That's what the pastor's saying, right? Let's just skip tomorrow. Don't worry, kids. We're not going to skip tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. No, we don't skip tomorrow. In light of Jesus Christ, we hold it differently. Tomorrow is for sure a festival day. Tomorrow is for sure a day of celebration. But it's not a celebration of each other. It's not a celebration of warm feelings between. It's not a celebration of presents. It's not a celebration of trees in our house or of food. Tomorrow is a celebration of the fact of the truth that the King has come. Tomorrow is not the thing itself. Christmas is not the kingdom. It's not the day when we have to have it all together and it's as good as it gets. Tomorrow is actually a celebration because it is poverty and rags and minuscule compared to what will be when Jesus comes back one day. We celebrate because tomorrow is not the day when it all has to be right. We enjoy what is, because it's a foretaste of what will be. If tomorrow is the thing itself, if all there is what's under that tree and on that table, then beloved, we are a people to be pitied among all people. If all there is tomorrow, guess what? It will be fleeting joy because the stuff that is under that tree, look, it's going to be flat. It's going to be broken. It's going to be lost. It's going to be dirty. It's going to become worm food. And such is your fate as well. If tomorrow is only about tomorrow itself. No, we celebrate tomorrow because the King has come. We celebrate tomorrow because it means the King is coming and that there will be a day and it will be so much better than tomorrow. We celebrate tomorrow because as good as it is, it's going to be so much better. Tomorrow is a foretaste. Tomorrow is a brief glimpse in small amounts of what it will be like when God comes to shepherd us, his people, when he returns to take us out of the poverty, away from the burning sands of our existence and renames us, one of my favorite verses, the delight of the Lord. You know, tomorrow, when you wake up and you open those presents, that will be but a squirt of joy compared to what it will be like to receive from God one day. Tomorrow, you'll sit at that table with the people that you love, and it'll be great for one brief moment, but it is a drop in the bucket compared to what it will be like to sit with God our Father, Christ our brother. The feast, the drinks, the presents, the joy, they're good. But the banquet table of the Lord one day will be so much better. And that means you don't have to wake up tomorrow and settle for it being as good as it gets. Tomorrow doesn't have to be the day when all of your hopes and your dreams come alive and everything is wonderful. No, that day is reserved for the day of the Lord. Tomorrow's a foretaste. Tomorrow's an inkling. It's a piece. It's a picture of what it will be like one day. And the hope of what it will be, combined with a sober view of what it is, forms the substance of sustaining joy. And you who trust and love and believe in that day when our God returns. So tomorrow, I hope you feast. I hope you tear through presents. I hope you have joy and laughter and fun, but not because of tomorrow itself, but because it's a celebration that Christ is coming. That he has come, that our God hasn't left us alone. And I pray that that might create in you a sustaining joy. Let's pray.